support and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Oh, wrong video. Wait a minute. Oh, it's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. Welcome to tonight's edition. We have very little to talk about because E3
Goodbye.
Are we playing the right video this time?
We are playing the right video. I had actually switched over to, I had your avatar in the background there, Sam. See?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. It'll come up here in a second. There you go. See, I had that video playing to begin with.
It's nice.
Yeah, so we'll move back to that. Welcome to the Gamer Show. It's 2 weeks post E3, or well, actually, it's a month post E3. There's very little happened, so we've got a slightly different show tonight in that we're each going to just talk about a topic. We're going to have a lot of back and forth instead. Oh, I just dropped my pen.
We're going to talk about
basically
the old
we're
game.
Not really doing a show. We're just moaning.
Pretty much. It's kind of the same as every week, but it's less set up.
Do you know what?
as if anybody's going to believe that we ever set this up.
We usually rehearse this furiously.
For hours.
Naked and jelly.
So yeah.
Do you know what annoys me? Yeah. Young people nowadays.
In what way?
Just with their face.
Their face.
Walking around it's with
disgusting,
that face. Yeah. And... yeah.
Sorry, the weight of the world just soon crushes them.
Yes, damn them all to heck. What I wanted to talk about first was, let's get the kind of the main thing out of the way. So, Satoru Iwata, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. I've heard it on many different podcasts.
John Smith, and you'll still be saying it wrong.
Yeah, I know, it could be. I've heard it on many different podcasts today for reasons that we will reveal in a second in a sort of a surprise. And everybody kind of
we got it elsewhere, and it's publicly available knowledge. So this is
everybody kind of pronounces it slightly differently. But anyway, can I get the actual message out of the way, and then we can get over that, and then we can get back on because it is very sad news.
Well, he's sadly passed away.
He has sadly passed away at the age of 55, cancer, a bile duct growth. And this was actually revealed announced by Nintendo on Sunday.
He's been suffering for quite a while because,
they thought they'd fixed it, didn't they?
He's pulled in the past couple of years. He's pulled out the odds of show and whatnot, kind of because of it, and he kind of was refraining from his public appearances and whatnot as he was obviously being it was treated for it, and then he came back for a bit. So, but it's obviously reared its head again. Yeah. Sadly, it's quite sad because he actually seemed like a totally. It's a likable person.
Yeah.
And
he's only 55
exactly.
as well.
It's far too young.
Pretty brutal.
There was I'm just trying to find it now that you've mentioned that, Chiz. There was actually a quote that was getting posted all around the internet today of something that he said, which I thought was quite telling the kind of guy he was. It was something, I'm just padding very quickly. I did find this. I was actually planning to say it, but I wasn't planning on saying it this early, and I've actually noted it down.
God, how much crap were you going to say?
So here we go. So it was actually, the tweet I've got here is tweeted by Bungie. A number of different video game sites have actually come out and just said their sadness on his passing. But Bungie put a quote, on my business card, I am a corporate president. In my mind, I am a game developer, but in my heart, I am a gamer. And one of his main things that he wanted to do was to make sure he always felt that games certainly recently were getting very exclusive, and what he really wanted to do was make more exclusive gaming or casual gaming, as I guess you might call it now, or certainly gaming that kind of
open to everybody.
That's a good way of describing it. He arrived in Nintendo in 2000, just after the GameCube had launched, and two of the biggest things that he brought to Nintendo and kind of the cash cows for Nintendo as they still stand was the Wii and the 3DS. And those, I think, kind of embody his idea of this whole inclusive gaming. I mean, they brought a whole bunch of people who would never ever have owned a game console in the living room to have a game console in the living room. Wii's everywhere.
There was one thing he said as well, although I can't remember his exact was wording, but he basically said it doesn't matter what sort of game it is, all games should be fun. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean thing. If you make a fun game, then it doesn't matter what sort of game it is, you're in the right track.
Yeah. It was games being fun. That was I saw that through a few different tweets around the internet today, but I thought what would be interesting. So it's very sad that he's passed away, but I just wanted to talk about the Wii because certainly for me, the Wii was a big deal. It was kind of the first gaming console that you kind of like physically got up and did something with, and kind of it was one that you could have your kids playing along with you and that kind of stuff. Not that sandwiches of kids, but
I could find some.
Yeah, because we've all owned Wiis and still own Wiis in some scenarios. And Sam, you've owned two, I think. You had one, sold it, and then got another one. And then I think sold that and then got another one.
I think I don't even know. They're not mine. They're Amy's, but I don't know. They accumulate.
They're like buddies.
They are.
Yeah. Well, you can't walk down the street without falling over one because they were basically a money making machine for them. They sold bucket loads of them. It's like
you couldn't get them for hen's teeth. They were like an Apple product.
Yeah, it's like it's like when people think of a game like a high selling it's game machine. Do you think of an Xbox or even more so it's a Sony PlayStation? But it was Nintendo Wii, absolutely sold tons, probably like three times as much as the rest of the consoles. Of that generation. That's because they tapped into, it was a casual crowd, into a family actually sitting around and all playing on the same thing.
Totally. And see what you like about the Wii U. I think that's still the case with the Wii U as well. Certainly in my household, the Wii U is the kind of the go-to thing.
Yeah, it's not done nearly as well.
No.
I think they kind of marketed that wrong. They should have basically changed it. I think it confused a lot of the casual market, I think, by having the same sort of name with just a U in the end of it, so they were kind of confused by what it was.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of should have just called it something else, to be honest.
Even the Wii 2 or something, just to kind of make it quite clear that it was the next iteration of that device that you're loving and
something,
your kids are playing in the living room.
What does the U in it? Is there any...
You know what, I don't actually know. Let's look into that. What does the U in Wii U stand for?
Isn't it sad that we're padding this?
Yeah. Wii U, as in W-E-Y-O-U. The tablet controller is a bit more personal. U was supposed to be a new focus for Nintendo and bringing back the games that Y-O-U, the major sponsor of Nintendo, want as well. The gamepad is likely to be the biggest thing, though.
I thought it was going to have a feature where you had to insert something in you. We and you.
And the me and you.
No, that's just raping.
Okie dokie.
You think I forgot about that night, but I remember you put some in my drink.
Yes, I'm going to gloss over that because the court case is still standing. What was the first kind of big game for you in the Wii that made you kind of go, wow, I quite like this console. This is pretty awesome.
I'm just presuming you're talking to Chase here, which is why I'm saying
I got it because
you liked the Wii Fit sound.
I liked it. It was trying something different, and it was all motion controls. Even though now looking back on it didn't quite play as well as what I would have liked. But it was trying something new, and it was brave, and. But there was a lot of times, there's a lot of games, if I had the choice of playing with a normal controller or the Wii U remote, I kind of went the controller way, unless, because I always found it wasn't that well. Like you had games like it was Red Steel, which on paper, when you actually saw got on paper and when you saw like a demo, you went, oh, that looks awesome. But then when you played it, you went, oh, this is horrendous.
I never played Red Steel.
They never did a proper lightsaber game.
No.
That was sort of an open opportunity insane. For me. Yeah, they should have done totally.
I have no idea why. I don't know if it's slicing or like whoever's in charge. I think it was LucasArts just kind of dropped the ball there, I think. I think that was a period of time where it was LucasArts were just turning out a Star Wars game every now and then, and it was just so destroyingly bad.
Well, I think even if they'd done a bit of a Friday night knockoff job.
Yeah.
Well, they still would have sold.
Yeah. They totally would.
Well, they would have sold. Yeah.
They tried that
totally.
With there was the Kinect one that came out on the 360, but that was just crap. But like, but
you had the thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Wii. It was just like it was there to have some sort of lightsaber game, and using your force powers, a first person, or even a third person is Jedi, a new Jedi Knight game was just calling out for that, but
totally.
For whatever reasons, it never happened. I don't know if it was actually...
Did they even have a sword? Anything? Like a sword?
No,
they
didn't.
It was Red Steel. Well,
Wii U, you've got Zelda as well.
And a gun.
It was a first-person sword and gun game. It was Red Steel 1 was terrible. Red Steel 2 was a vast improvement, but still not all that great.
I think one of the biggest constraints with I thought I hadn't played Red Steel until you described it then, I remember. And it was because you couldn't get... Because you had the gun and the sword, and you had the nunchuck and the sword...
His nunchuck was basically your gun.
Yeah. And so you had the trigger, obviously, and the gun, which is a really cool idea. If they'd been wireless, it would have made you a bit more of a difference, because you couldn't get a good swing on your sword without bringing your other hand across and smacking yourself in the face, because they were attached with a cable.
A lot of these games with the Wii remote was all like, you didn't have to do the actual motion, you just need to do like a flick.
I know, but you wanted to do that.
And
you want to kind of get
when
going.
You quickly realised you didn't need to do the whole thing, it was just kind of like, well, it's like, not really proper motion.
Quickly start doing Wii Sports by just sitting there.
Yeah.
Bowling.
I know.
With my wrist.
I've seen you bowling, that's how you do it.
Bowling with your wrist, there we go. Yeah. That's a show title there.
We should go bowling.
Is it because there wasn't a hole in the Wii remote to stick your dick in? I've seen you bowl.
That's how I bowl.
I've seen you.
I've lost 7 penises that way.
Well, you've at least lost a few inches. Eh?
I didn't have inches to lose.
Oh, dear. Cool. So my first one was probably, I really loved the Wii Sports. When I look back on it now and play Wii Golf, I don't know whether it's because
Wii Golf was good
that came with the Wii Sports package. And now when I go back and play it just now, it's a bit poo. And I don't know whether it's because the Wii Motes are maybe older and they're getting a little more and more damaged because they are about 8 years old, but they're not as sensitive as they were.
No, I do like... what I kind of felt was a bit of a letdown was they weren't true one-to-one motion when it launched. You had to get the adapter or buy it was new ones, and then they kind of upgraded them to be it was actual one.
That wasn't a launch though. That was a few months. That was a good. I would say a year at least after it launched that they brought out the Wii Plus things.
If that's what I mean, at launch it wasn't one-to-one. I'm saying it should have been one-to-one when it launched rather than a year or two later.
Yeah, but when you play with it on your own, when you go back and play with the original Wiimotes and stuff and golf, and it's rubbish now. But I don't remember it being that rubbish. It must just be that the team.
As a console holder, I wasn't a massive fan of it, but I liked the idea of it, and that's right. And it found its market, and as I said, sold by the bucket load, and
I totally did.
You can actually probably talk more about the 3DS and that sort of stuff because I don't think I've actually ever owned a Nintendo handheld thing.
Before we go to the 3DS, the other thing I just wanted to mention, and it's probably one of these games that is pretty much the only game, maybe up until sort of late last year when Mario Kart 8 came out. It was Mario Kart where you had the steering wheel on the Wiimote, and that was probably what sold most of the Wiis. And I would argue probably still is what sells most Wiis. If Wiis are still selling now, it's because of Mario Kart. So last I checked, Mario Kart on the Wii was still selling at like the kind of 30, 40 quid mark. Because they've...
Although I'd say it's one of the worst Mario Karts. So like,
But it was. I think it was the novelty factor. I think it was that element of it.
I wasn't a massive fan of.
See, I liked it. I liked
Mario Kart.
I never had a joypad for the Wii. I do have now for the Wii U. But so everybody who played in it it was a level playing field.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of cool about it. It was a level playing field, and it didn't matter whether it was my daughter who was like kind of I don't know 6 or 7 at the time, or me or my wife. All of us sort of had it wasn't completely level, but it kind of leveled out because we were all using these brand new controllers and stuff. And if I had a joypad, it would have been a totally different game. But it just leveled out and made it kind of nice for the whole family. I mean, we still play some old Wii games. Wii Party, what was the sequel to it? Was it Wii Party something? Wii Party something. Can't remember. The sequel to Wii Party, we still play that quite regularly. It's quite a cool little game. So the 3DS. I own a 3DS. I really like my 3DS.
They sold tons as well.
They're a bit of a gimmick.
Yeah, they're a gimmick. They keep releasing a different one all the time. Like the one that's just like it doesn't fold over, the one that extra large screen, and then it was just like there's been
And then you've got the 2DS, which is effectively 3DS, but doesn't have a fold in it and it isn't 3D.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a 3DS XL. No, is it the... Yes, it is the XL. It's 3DS XL. Sam, are we boring you? You have folded your... Leaned straight out shot.
I thought the camera was on you. I'm there, aren't I? No. Just. Yeah, I'm there. I'm really sore.
Right, okay.
From helping B yesterday. Sitting up is... This... chair is difficult as well.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to move studios after this show, and we will get you some nice comfy chairs for the new studio.
I would quite like the beanbags, to be honest, again.
Well, we can get the beanbags. That's absolutely fine. We just have to find a way of attaching a microphone to a beanbag, that's all.
No, it's on the desk.
Yeah, we can do something. It doesn't... Never mind. Yeah, the 3DS, as you say, Chiz, they were bringing out tons and tons of different models as time went on. I have the 3DS XL, and I really like the XL, like the screen size on the XL is really nice. I switched off the 3D after you stopped playing that sort of gimmicky, I forgot the game that came with it, but basically it was like a gun game and it was sort of augmented reality. And so when you moved the DS around, you could see the actual surroundings and things were growing on it and you had to shoot them and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was cool, but it was cool for like a minute, and then... When you went back to it, I just switched the 3D straight off. And I just liked it for being able to play Mario on the move. And Mario Kart was okay on it. It wasn't great. But like, just play it. Like, I had all the old Mario games, and you could pick up the old Mario games from like the... I don't think Mario World was on there. Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, I think, were on there. You could buy them on the Nintendo store and download them for a couple of quid or something like that. They were awesome for that.
Our main thing is this guy was kind of like in charge when all this was going on.
So totally, that's just kind of what we're
done a good job of. As like this was a time where Sony were coming off probably the back of the highs of the PS2, Xbox, Microsoft Xbox were trying to find their feet, and everyone kind of felt as Nintendo were maybe going a bit lost, and then they hit out of the park with the Wii U and the 3DS. Well, when it comes to handhelds, they're the king of the handhelds, because
totally.
The Sony Vita and PSP haven't even scratched the surface compared to them.
Yeah.
And it's Microsoft that went, a waste of time going down that alley.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's Nintendo's got it sewn up.
Yeah, completely. It is a great little handheld device. I still carry it in my bag for like when I'm going on work trips and things like that. And I always get some funny looks sitting in airplanes full of businessy people. They're all sitting there reading documents and PowerPoints, and I whip out a 3DS.
Does it really have the place? It means they're dead inside.
Sorry, Sam.
Does it really have a place anymore?
Well, the 3DS.
Well, handheld gaming. We all have smartphones, which are surely capable of doing exactly
totally
the same things.
But for some strange reason, well, I think that's
a D-pad.
I think you're right there, Chiz, because I would never play a game like Mario Brothers. Like, I've played Mario Brothers, which are platformy games. As I'm sure everybody listening to this knows, platformy games, and they're really relatively big, and I've played full games in the 3DS and completed... I think I honestly have completed more games on my 3DS than I've completed games on pretty much any other console I've owned.
That's entirely believable.
Yeah, and it's mainly because of the amount of dead time I have, where 3DS is pretty much the only console I have.
And how long you poo.
And how long I poo. Well, actually, no, it's generally how long I have to climb back off the toilet. Never mind. It's
speaking of which, I had hot snakes last night.
Really? Really? Hot snakes?
Hot snakes.
What's hot snakes, actually?
It's when your poop comes out like a hot snake.
I've never felt a hot snake before.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway, so... I think it is buttons. I think it's entirely buttons.
Can you not get, like, a you clippy...
Totally can. It's not the same, though, and I
Why?
Think... I just don't know if the money and the effort's been put into it. Because I've had a go of some of the adapters you can get for the iPhones and things like that to put these games in, to use these kind of joypads. And they just feel a little bit cheap. They kind of feel like, do you remember the... what was that games console that we bought for the show? The Ouya. And the controller just felt a bit cheapy.
Yeah, it was
cheap. The buttons just felt a bit uncomfortable.
It just felt like... Those triggers are going to break after
totally.
Three uses. So.
Yeah, it just felt a bit hollow and cheapy. And that's what these consoles kind of feel like. I think the other element is because you can't, as a game developer, guarantee that somebody's going to have one of these devices attached,
yeah.
You can't rely on those consoles, and so people aren't making those controls.
I think It's a touchscreen with certain games works totally fine, but it does limit you on what sort of games work on smartphones.
Mm-hmm,
but,
totally.
But when you've got like something like the 3DS, which is a touchscreen with it's two screens and buttons, then it opens up more. You could put any sort of game on that and kind of make it work within reason.
Yeah, I've only found about two, possibly three smartphone games to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm just not a smartphone gaming person at all.
I play kind of now and again. I've got the version of Tetris you can get, which is I think is the officially licensed version of Tetris, is really, really quite cool. And that's worthy of, you know, the morning motion or a plate like a short plane flight or something like that. But and it's the same as those other games. So the what's the name of that one that it was big recently, and I've totally blanked on the name, where you you basically chase llamas on a snowboard. I forget what that was called. Something adventure. Hang on, I'll just bring my phone up. I'll tell you in a second.
It's a phone game up, I won't know.
Alto's Adventure. It's a beautiful game. It's got quite a nice soundtrack as well. Monument Valley as well. But, I mean, I could probably list them in five or six games off the top of my head that are actually that amazing.
Actually worth it.
Totally, yeah.
Compared to the billions of them out there, which are just...
Oh, just absolute rubbish, yeah. Just absolute rubbish. But, yeah, the 3DS, I think, because you could actually have buttons, and so people were putting development in, it actually makes them fairly decent. And there's Reggie. Hi, Reggie. So this is the advert from E3 2010 for the 3DS, which obviously started with Mr. Iwata.
Yep.
Anyway, beginning there.
Rest in peace.
Indeedly do. And we should just say that is a sort of the last thing that we ever saw of him was from me, Mr. Iwata, or Iwata-san, I guess is Satoru-san, is how you're supposed to say the san. I think it's after the first thing, I can't remember. Where Nintendo's first full year financial results had returned to profitability for the first time since 2011, so he went out on something of a high. So rest in peace, sir. Chiz, you wanted to talk about the state of video games being released, and you wanted to get on that there soapbox and just go off on them.
Well, yeah, it's becoming far too precedent where everything, well, not everything, but it's like,
there's way too many things.
There's way
out.
Too many things launching with glaring errors. Like, not the bug, fair enough, that happens, but there's too many games which have got bugs where you kind of go, how did this get past testing? Is this like, or like, it probably was picked up in testing, but no one bothered actually repairing it. Just kind of went, oh, it's fine. We'll just fix that once it's out. And yeah, and one of these games was Batman Arkham Knight on the PC, which was so broken, in fact, that they've removed it from Steam. I don't think it's still in Steam at the moment. I don't think it's appeared back on yet. I got this game with my graphics card and installed it. It ran, but the frame, but with the sort of power of my PC, even at the lowest sort of settings, the frame rate was terrible. It dropped really badly, and it would just freeze every now and then. And the settings you would have on it for a PC game weren't really acceptable for a PC game. The game looked, well, you could do the benchmark, which would show you any sort of frame rate from, well, obviously zero to whatever your PC mm-hmm. can do. So you're getting over 60 frames per second, even or around about. Like, I'd try and aim for a steady, it's 60 frames per second for all my PC games. I can't do that. I'll try and look at 30 or 40. And the benchmark, you could get up to that. But as soon as you started running the game locked you to 30 frames per second
right.
with no option to, you'd actually have to go into your game settings and change a file yourself right. to unlock that, which is just ridiculous anyway for a PC game. It's like, which seems like it was a cock-up somewhere where the benchmark would go that high, yet the actual full game didn't even bother. And it's just been one thing. And like, it launched with loads and loads of people going nuts. And they've removed it and currently trying to fix it, which apparently it wasn't Rocksteady who did the PC port. They did the PS4 and Xbox One version, while okay. a third-party studio where the game was put to them to make the PC port, which I think they've done PC ports before and done all right jobs in the past. But this one, I think, like I read some of them, they're only a 12-man team, and I think basically they didn't have enough time or enough manpower. And yeah, the game basically should have been delayed on Warner Brothers kind of, and I've also read somewhere that it's Warner Brothers knew the game was in this state but released it anyway. When
what point does it go off to. I know everything can now be updated through the internet, but at what point do they? You know, how long ago did they send it off to be burnt onto disc?
Paul, mm-hmm. Stop playing the video playing. This is all the cutscenes. So it's probably quite a lot of spoilers getting played here.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, and you know, Cheers doesn't like spoilers.
Well, I'm okay, but I've seen it. But
yeah,
I just read that and I thought that's probably not a good video to play. Yeah.
At what point do they get sent off to be burnt to disc? So the my real question is, you know, if they all got sent off like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
To be burnt to disc. At that point, they should have a working version. It shouldn't be sent.
There's too many games with day one patches that seem to get the game. It's like a game should be working anyway, and a day one patch just improves it.
Yeah.
But there's so many games where I've read like where basically a game's come out and it's folk reporting, right? Basically, if you got this game without the day one patch, all these features don't work. This doesn't work. It's terrible. Then the day one patch fixes everything. It's like, well, why is that not on a disc already? Yeah. Why is that a day one patch? And it's like screwing somebody up who say they've bought a game and say they're away for the weekend, they don't have internet access and want to play the game, but they can't get the it's a day one patch because it's a broken mess. Oh, because they don't have internet access. But it's just,
so I mean,
it's like, when is a day one patch? I think there's nothing wrong with a day one patch if it improves what's already a working game. Not when a game shouldn't be even on disc broken. Or no, have that like where's a line of acceptable bugs, and I think we all know a game breaking bug is when its actual performance or the audio or its cutscenes or basically crashes, major things like that which hamper you actually playing the game. If it's an odd bug of say I don't know, like
stupid ones from like Skyrim with the giant punches and things like that.
Yeah, like
not
things,
bothered about that at all. Those like are just
rare bugs that it takes a certain sort of few things to happen at the same time to cause. Fair enough, but if it's something that you can't go through this door without the game crashing, that's a major thing.
Yeah. I mean, in the interests of just having a debate about it, there will be deadlines that come into play, and those deadlines, because I'm assuming in most cases that the people who actually make the actual discs is a separate company. I imagine in like big video game houses and stuff like that.
They usually announce when a game's gone. When a game, they say like a game's gone, it's gold, and that's basically it's at ready.
The gold master.
Yeah.
So it goes to disc. So if that goes out to a third party company who are charging X amount of money for to create these discs and stuff, and if they have to push it back at some point, somebody generally won't be a developer, I accept that, unless it's like a small games house, but in big situations it'll be a board of people who have never had anything to do with development. Some of them will have at some point in their past, but most of them probably haven't, and they'll have to make the decision, right, okay, if we move this back, company X, we'll call them Disc Magic, for want of a better phrase. It's probably a company that's called that, but never mind.
Angry phone call. I'm the manager of Disc Magic. I do not like the way you have portrayed my company.
So here's
a box of angry bees.
So Disc Magic, CEO, or whoever controls that, is going, right, it's going to cost you X 100,000 or X million or something like that if we push this back, because their factory will be waiting for the next game that's coming along in 2 weeks' time, and they'll have put all their plans in place and everything like that. And they have to catch all the bees.
Stop. I've just got this image in my head of Chiz only just wandering around his house in a beekeeper's outfit, just in case hits him with another box of angry bees.
I've got an image of Paul reading that letter and then still opening the box
whilst eating jam.
Just going, so it's like it hesitates for a minute and goes,
and here is the box of bees from Disc Magic.
So when you actually bring up footage that's properly relevant interest, and it takes you half an hour, and it's pointless crap with this, it's instantaneous.
So this guy from Disc Magic, whilst prepping his bee box, is given this ultimatum, which will happen. I mean, I don't work in the video game industry, but these deadlines do exist.
And so
they'll have to make a call and go, right, okay, do we feel that the bugs in this game?
But you just need to look at it's Ubisoft. Sure, they'll see the track record of like the way what happened with Assassin's Creed Unity, and they'll go,
it's
better to delay it and take flak for that rather than long run get dragged through the mud for releasing a broken.
So the guy has to burn him when he has to burn him because he's got other orders coming up and he has to. Right, that's fine. What I was saying before is in an ideal world, it should not be even considered to be sent away to be burnt to disk before it's done. But on the off chance that it is,
and this is a PC
now,
game, a lot of it's digital anyway.
Yeah.
True. So that,
all of these things, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, really, they're all expecting us to have an internet connection, and the PC one hooks up through Steam, so it has to have an internet connection to be activated anyway.
Yeah.
So, as Chiz said, just friggin' delay it until you fix the coding. You've got a patch that can go out, and boom, it's a working game. There's absolutely no excuse now to send it out in a horrific mess.
And it's made it's Warner Brothers have taken a lot of bad press for this, so the right idea would have been to delay the game.
It turns out in this scenario, but somebody somewhere will be sitting prior to this.
It's never a good scenario to release a broken game, though.
No. So, okay. From a consumer's perspective,
especially if they know it's broken.
So I agree. For me and you and Sam sitting here in this room right now, we do not want to pay for a broken mess.
No.
100% agree with that. But from a business perspective, somebody somewhere will be sitting prior to this being released with a spreadsheet with two numbers on it. And one of them says, releasing a slightly, or in their opinion, however percentage of broken game will cost us this much in bad press and returns and all sorts of other stuff. And there'll be a number against it. And on the other hand, delaying it will cost us this much. If the column on the left is greater than the column on the right, they will not release the game. If the column on the right is greater than the column on the left, then they will release it, or likely will release it. I don't think it's quite as cut and dry as that. But
I totally take that on board, and I can really see where, you know, you're playing devil's advocate there, because...
Oh, no, I agree. From a consumer's perspective, yes, we should be buying broken games.
I think Warner Brothers have got, they maybe, even on it was goodwill, they should have actually taken the hit and delayed the game, because they've already got quite a lot of bad press for the whole... It's the pricing of their DLC for Batman, which is just an absolute joke as well. It's like pay like £40 for 6 months of DLC, and they've got so much.
Do you think that's one of those things?
There's day one, there's so much pre-order. There's DLC which are available from day one, which should all be on the disc. But they're all at different vendors, so you can't get them all. You can't get them all unless you buy them.
When you can.
And then it's like £5 a piece or whatever. Piss off with that crap.
Yeah, I know.
That needs to die.
Yeah, I did. DLC is, especially paid DLC. But do you not think it's going to be one of those things like, it was a Project Cars recently, that they were planning to do all that, and then they actually gave it away for free because the game was that broken? It was another racing game, wasn't it?
No, it was Assassin's Creed Unity.
We were talking about Project Cars that same day.
Air's unit was that broken that they gave away. Well, the season pass was supposed to be something you paid for, but they ended up, anyone who bought the game got the season, the thing that was supposed to be the season pass with it anyway, which I think Warner Brothers kind of have to do for at least the PC owners.
I would imagine so.
If they had delayed it, that a game like Batman would have actually lost. I don't think anyone would have turned around and gone, I'm not.
It would have affected the PC sales, because what would have happened was a lot of people, actually it's happened anyways, but a lot of people probably did what I did, where either pre-ordered, it was a PC game, or got free with a graphics card like me, on the day of the release, installed it, played it, didn't work, and then drove to a shop and bought it for the PS4.
Yeah.
So they've actually sold it twice.
Or Xbox One.
I don't know.
It's encouraged sales.
I think you probably are in the minority, Chiz. I would not have done that.
Yeah, no, I think...
I'm not saying you're the only person.
It's Rocksteady have actually made an absolutely brilliant game, and the version they've done on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 work brilliantly, but...
Yeah, I know.
I think everyone has to take, I think Warner Brothers mainly, Rocksteady a little bit, and why they didn't do the PC version as well. Maybe they felt they didn't have the manpower to do all three versions, then it's an okay, fair enough. They've, rather than all three versions taking a massive hit and taking longer, they've focused them to and gotten somebody else to do the PC version. That's worked in the past. I think it was the Deus Ex game. They did the same, and the folk who did the PC port actually did a great job of it. But the guys who have done this PC port haven't, and whether that's because the Warner Brothers didn't give them enough time, enough manpower, or cash, or whatever, it's just not worked. So basically, everyone has to take a Everyone has to take a hit here. The guys who did it's a PC port. It's Rocksteady themselves, but mainly I think it's Warner Brothers.
Yeah, and I think it's Warner Brothers. I'm assuming it's Warner Brothers who, as well, will be dictating the releases. So away from the
The publishers controlling everyone's purse strings.
So taking away from the whole precedent of CDs, which was a discussion we were having at the beginning there, and there will be a window in which Warner Brothers or somebody else down the chain is saying, "This is the window that this game has to come out in."
Although,
because it can't coincide.
Games get delayed all the time, but it's not the first time. It's already been delayed twice. They just delay it one more time for one format. It wasn't getting delayed on the PS4 and then Xbox One. It just needed delayed on the PC because the Xbox One and PS4 versions. I played the PlayStation 4 version, totally fine, and I've heard the Xbox One version is totally fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring those out, and if they'd been really clever, they would have done those and then made such an exceptional job on the PC version.
And we set a later
people
date.
People would have
like
come buy it on the PC anyway.
It was Rockstar did with Grand Theft Auto 5. Yeah. They didn't release it at the same time because they knew it was going to take longer, and like they wanted to do something with it, and they had the right idea. And that's probably actually made folk buy that game twice as well.
I would argue, though, that what Rockstar did with that, and it probably was quite a percentage to do with what we're discussing here, but they also added a whole bunch of extra features to the PC version.
Although, every PC game should have a big list of graphical things you can change to alter it to your sort of rig. Mm-hmm. And so every PC game should have that and run it at whatever frame rate you can actually manage.
Yeah, okay.
And what your refresh rate of your monitor, if it's up to 144, then 144 frames per second if you've got the
availability.
Yeah.
Indeed. Good discussion. Sam, what were you wanting to bring to the table upon this eve?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Well done, Sam. Thanks for contributing. talking about something about Mad Max before we started.
Chase was saying something about a sound thing. They've got a sound thing.
Yeah,
a sound thing?
It does sounds.
All of them.
All of the sounds.
I maybe should have read the full article, but it was basically...
not how we work this show. Yeah.
It was something about basically they've got like some sort of audio tech where your engine... the sound of your car, you can hear it from anywhere about. I don't know why if somebody else is driving your car. I think you've got...
This is the new Mad Max game.
Yeah.
Which is going to be phenomenal.
And it renders the echoes in a cool way, apparently, which hasn't been done in a game before, I think. So, we'll see what it sounds like. But as I was saying before, it's good that they're putting effort into that, because it's the sort of game where, especially if it's a driving game, you want the car sounds to sound great.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be in your car for that amount of time in the game, then it has to be satisfying.
Are you in the game in the car a lot in this game?
I think so, yeah.
Fair enough.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
The thing that'll annoy me about this game is if it turns into, like, do you remember that game Rage?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, it was all right. It was quite fun.
It wasn't great. It was graphically nice, and the animations of the...
Yeah.
It was enemies, the way they ran about and moved and got shot and died. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. But it did feel up until it was a certain section of the game, like, it kind of opened out and you went, this is cool. And then it closed itself in, especially in the game. It closed itself right down and turned itself into a to B shooter. And then kind of ended when you felt like you were only halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And then kind of, it's going to be a sequel, but not really because we've abandoned it.
So what's the I know we've talked about this game before, but what is this kind of an open worldy type?
So you're a bloke called Max,
right? That makes sense. I got that from the title.
A bit mad,
fairly ape poo,
right
in the head.
Okay,
right,
good.
And you drive
so far.
You drive around, in your car,
okay,
and you smash into people.
Is that it?
And your car's a bit of a weapon, and you can modify the car, and you can get different cars, and you can go and drag. I'm sure there's a bit.
A harpoon gun thing.
Yeah, you can drag away like bits of scrap metal to weld onto your car for armor and stuff.
It's all about trying to customize your own car, building your own car and whatnot. Yeah. And it's basically got the fighting mechanics from Batman and Shadow of Mordor.
As every game coming out these days does,
If it works, so.
I know.
But
I get that.
I think its major selling point is its car stuff and whatnot, which is quite cool. But it looks hopefully quite well. From what I've seen of it, it looks pretty solid.
So, Sam, you were saying that like bullets are at a premium in this. There's hardly any.
In the Mad Max
world, yeah,
bullets are. I was saying beforehand.
I don't think I've ever seen a Mad Max film.
What?
Yeah, no, none of them.
Right, I'll hold them. I'll hold them down. You work the kidneys.
No, I don't think I have. Are they worth a watch?
Oh God!
Yeah. I don't know if I can't even mind too much of the second or third one, but I enjoy the first one and the new one.
Well, the actual first one.
Yeah. And
the first one's mental.
Yeah, that's why I like it. And the brand new one, Fury Road, really good.
So the first one doesn't really kind of connect up to the rest of them. The first one, it's when society's just kind of teetering on the edge of falling into post-apocalyptic mentalness, and he's a cop, and yeah, he's basically his wife and child get run over,
right?
And he loses it, and that's the whole Max is mad.
Okay,
and then the second one, the poo has hit the windmill, and everything has gone mental, and there's these quite nice people pumping some oil and some mental people trying to get at the oil. And yeah, he sorts that all out. And then the third one, there's
Tina Turner.
There's Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm familiar with that.
And a midget.
Thundersnatch.
And a midget and a Down syndrome giant. And Mad Max kills the Down. Well, no, he doesn't actually. Someone else does. And they have a fight, and then everything goes mad. And then there's some kids, weirdly, and they save the kids.
With like a razor boomerang.
Yeah, that's in the second one.
The second one, all right.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's just a feral kid.
The feral kid, yeah. He can't even talk, he just growls. He's great.
Nice.
Which one's his dog? Is that two as well? He's got a dog.
Yeah, yes, two. And it died.
Did it die?
Yeah, it's really upset. I can't remember.
Two and three, I'm really hazy on.
And then there's the newest one.
Yeah, which I don't want to know anything about, because I do actually plan to watch that.
Which it's good.
Is full-on phenomenal.
Really?
And is the reason why I now have a midget with a guitar sellotape to the front of my van.
Why do you keep Amy there?
I was going to say she's not cold.
I don't care. Everyone should travel with a guitar gimp.
We just literally... hot off the press. Yeah. Hot off the press. We literally just got a message from Ed Marshall. This is as we speak. He just sent a message into the Facebook group.
You just told him now. We're actually recording, messaged. Ed. You could be in the chat room.
Gutted I am missing the live show, but looking forward to the podcast. Paul, get your finger out and get it up ASAP. Genuinely looking forward to Chizzy's F1 review. Hope all goes well. So Chizzy, you doing an F1 review tonight?
Yeah, can do.
Well, you weren't planning on it.
I didn't even consider it.
It's like I've got Batman to kind of review as well. But
all right, have you got more to say over the Batman? Well, I suppose you've got the actual game.
You review Batman. I'll handle F1.
Okay.
We should also say thank you very much to Ed. He was keeping us posted. He was at Silverstone for the British Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago.
It was Nico Rosberg who you had no idea.
I had no idea. He looked like a footballer. That would have been my guess. He had a footballer look about him.
My God.
I presumed he was a driver. Because
or also we had Warwick Davis. He put up a selfie with Warwick Davis as well, which is quite cool. And he was also he was playing.
Robin, and he managed to get Silverstone the gate.
Yeah, he was playing on. Sort of a Formula One pro, sort of a. It was a Formula One car you sat in. Yeah, it was
apparently
it's
the 2014 game, but not the new one. Weirdly,
yeah. So that guy there, he looks like that magician guy. He's also got a selfie with some guy that looks like a magician.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure who that is.
Is that like Donnie Darko or something? I don't know who that guy is.
Donnie Darko.
It's a bloke in a film. Is that Harry Potter?
Jake Gyllenhaal character.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's the guy I thought looked like a footballer. That guy there I knew was a driver. He quite clearly is a driver.
Yeah. Mike, you're showing it to the screen.
Nobody else can see it. I'm forgetting. I'm not sharing my screen here. Sorry.
You're pointing with your finger at it. No one can see what you're pointing at.
Who's that street magician guy? What's his name?
I know who you mean. The really boring one.
David Dynamo.
David Blaine.
Is it Dynamo? Is that guy Dynamo?
David Blaine.
I don't know.
That guy there?
No, it's not. It's not David Blaine. No,
that's not David Blaine.
It might be Dynamo. I've no idea.
Who's Dynamo?
He's the basically crap British version of him.
He looks like Dynamo. See, there we go. See, I think it was Dynamo he saw. Look, when you, I've got the photographs here. Hang on, I should be bringing this up with you. I don't know why I'm doing it there.
I don't think it's that interesting, is it?
It really isn't. Actually, I'm padding.
Yeah, let's just post Ed Marshall's holdy pictures cheers, up and cheers. Judge them all.
He's got nothing else to talk about.
Right, okay. So this
whole show is padding.
Let's bring up Ed's...
Well, can you actually bring up a picture of him as opposed to a tiny snaps. Little circle?
And we'll judge his bikini wear.
Okay, okay, let's see if we can find Ed's hoodie snaps.
Well, there there we go.
we've got Ed's holiday snaps here. So this is a picture of Ed Marshall on holiday. I'm going to see if I can get this in shot here because it's not really going very well so far. Hold on, I'm just going to see if I can get this in shot. There we go. Hold on.
This was 10 minutes before the sodomy started.
So this is Ed Marshall on holiday. So if all of you hear about this guy Ed Marshall that contacts the show quite often, that is Ed. That was obviously before he had like after he had the tummy tuck.
No, he's definitely done a bit of Photoshop in there.
Yeah. He's not normally that shorn. Anyway, sorry, we digress. So, Chiz, you were going to... I'll do the adverts first. So, this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by the absolutely superb and shiny people at UK2. They provide all of the servers and all of the bandwidth for us to get all of our shows out to your amazing ears. This is show number 71. 71 shows we've done. If you want to go back to any of them, you can head on to the archives at britishtechnetwork.com and you'll be able to find all of our old shows. Same with all the other shows on the network. If you want to go back to the really old Bagel Tech days of the Big Show and the Mac Show, they're all in there. If you want to get some great money off discount deals from British Tech Network for UK2, you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you will see all the voucher codes and things like that there. Also, if you ever want to log into your account again, please use britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 because then that gives us the kudos for sending you there instead of having found the vouchers on some weird voucher code site or something like that. So UK2, they're absolutely superb. Please support them because they support British Tech. The other people I just want to mention is the fantastic people over at 100TB, the live stream that you are not watching just now because it's quite quiet in the chat room tonight. The live stream that you're not watching is 100 supported by 100TB.com. So thank you very much, the folk over there. Patreon is a service you can use to give us your hard-earned cash. If you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon or patreon.com and search for British Tech Network, they both work, you will find our page. And please send us anything that you can that you want to support us with, just anything from a dollar up is really very much appreciated. It pays for studio and stuff like that. We don't drink or eat any of the funds, nor do we spend it to buy food or drink.
It's like an internet version of dropping money in a bucket for a dancing monkey.
Exactly. And Sam is your dancing monkey. So please send money his way. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
Ed just bought a tiny jacket that makes her look like one of those little monkeys. And I've told her that several times. And my mum agreed with me. While she was showing her the jacket.
I think if me and Paul put our heads together, we could actually find a way of superimposing you into Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. No. It's the first one in the Raiders of Lost Ark. And instead of a little monkey, it's just you.
That would be awesome.
It superimposes you just wearing the jacket and face.
I can do that.
Main acting all the scenes, but if you superimpose it onto that.
I've got a fez, actually. You give me the jacket and a tiny pair of red shorts, I'll do it.
Cool. Grand. Chiz. F1, or what do you want to talk about? Batman, it's up to you.
We'll talk Batman.
Okay, go Batman first.
I can't wait to talk about the story's fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. It wraps up the three sort of all four of although Rocksteady kind of said that it was their sort of trilogy, but I like they've actually worked in lots of story elements from Batman, Arkham, its origins, which was made by a different studio, which was in the same world but set kind of at the start of Batman.
Right.
And there's a lot of they took a lot of good ideas from that and actually used it in Arkham Knight. So it's not like it's a slap to the face of the guys who made that game before. They've taken the good ideas and carried it over. But So I like that, and I can't really dive too much into the story without ruining anything, but I'd say I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic.
So when you say it follows on from the story, I mean, how... So I've completed both the first two, but I honestly can't remember much of the actual plot. I mean...
It continues on from Arkham Asylum and Arkham City,
yeah,
and it takes elements from Arkham
Origins.
Yeah, stamina that word. Yeah. Sorry, but it takes elements from that. Although you don't need to have played that game, but it takes like
I never took Origins.
Yeah, there's certain characters and gameplay ideas they've taken from that and put into this game. But you like if you played it, you go, oh, like they've not ignored that game. That's good, but you don't need to have played it to actually to be concerned with.
Okay.
And the major thing over on Poi, this one, the game changer in it is Poi, the Batmobile, which seems to have split people. There's a lot of people seem to be hating on the Batmobile, and like, which I'm not gonna, I think the Batmobile's fantastic. Like it's one of the most cool and satisfying, like any time you could be standing in the street or it's up high, up on top of a building, you just aim at the ground or just look at the ground and press a button, a bat symbol appears and Batman will jump towards that, since it's that area, and then the Batmobile will just rumble in from a certain direction, slide in front of you, and you'll just jump straight in a really smooth, in a smoothie while wiping out everyone else who's stupid enough to be in its way.
Right.
And the element, the way they've stopped the Batmobile from basically, well, Batman probably does kill a lot of people in this game with the Batmobile, but the way they've worked it is, in the Batmobile's got a defence, well, they never explain it, you just assume when you're driving around.
It's a bumper car.
Yeah, it basically, anyone who makes, except it electrifies everyone. So like, basically, it's got like a magnetic field around it, anyone who's too close gets electrified and is knocked away from the car.
Right, okay.
But they probably break the neck off the wall they hit afterwards. But, and there's so many people have like seem to be saying, oh, it turns into a tank. It's so not Batman. But it's got guns in it. Batman doesn't use guns. And it's like, if these people have been ignored in Batman films and comics for the last 30 years. Mm. He's had guns on his planes and cars and all sorts of... One of the most revered Batman stories is Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. And the Batmobile in that is a massive tank. It's like a size of a building, and like, and even more so than one. And folk are just, we'll just ignore that. But we'll take issue with the tank-like mode of the Batmobile in this game. It's just kind of like, why? It makes total sense. And like, and the folk complaining about it's the controls. I never had a problem with it at all. It takes a wee while to get used to and master, but what game doesn't that take with it? Like, are folk expecting to be instantly a good straight away? And if they're not, it's a game's fault.
Yes, so, they are.
Well, they're stupid. The whole point of the game is you learn to get, like, you learn the mechanics of it and you get better, but you practice with it and you get better. If you're instantly good at a game, where's the challenge?
It's the whole dumbing down games thing.
Yeah.
But people do think that they should automatically be but awesome.
Anyone who says the Batmobile's crap in this game are wrong. It's fantastic. And I really enjoyed that element. And they've just kind of built on improved on everything else. The size and scope of the city just...
Is that bigger than Arkham City?
Yeah.
Because that was equally bigger than Arkham Asylum.
And,
it's just a city and not a building.
And it's the sort of height you can glide to and how fast you can glide around a lot faster. You can actually basically, even if you don't like the Batmobile, you can use it just as a cannon to shoot yourself from one area to the, and like basically shoot yourself into the sky. But it's just absolutely fantastic Batman game. And the way elements which they did well was for the rare times they had it was there's a few moments which they took from the past games where you used your detective skills to actually piece together a scene to actually see what happened, but they only really do that once or twice. I would like to have seen that more because it was more engaging. It actually felt like you're trying to solve something, although it was pretty easy and straightforward, but still it was quite cool. I would like to have seen that to be
a detective.
Yeah, exactly. It's my only issue with these games is they've not really got enough embraced how much, because he is like one of these things, he's the world's best detective, and the game's never really shown that well enough.
Yeah, he's just kind of like this big fighting man.
I would actually at some point like to see Sherlock Holmes just beat yeah. to Batman. Now.
Yeah, it's like
yeah. Awesome. You're probably not going to see that.
And just like
Ian McKellen fighting Christian
yeah.
Bale.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I had all the gadgets Batman had of like X-ray vision and just like seeing a scene and rewind it, I'd be the world's best detective as well. Yeah. Like, I want to have something where you have to sit there and use your brain to suss things out.
Yeah,
but they didn't ever quite do that. But
there's fewer puzzle yeah. things in big games. Now.
Yeah.
That's I mean, like, the closest thing that came to the puzzle
challenges.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say is the Riddler challenges and yeah, the original ones.
I see these as well. They're less, I don't know, like, I didn't find them, there was a few in the past games I thought were more tricky than what they were in this one, but maybe it's just because I know what I'm looking for now. And
possibly. I mean, it's the same mechanic. I mean,
they've incorporated the Batmobile more different... into them because it's a Batmobile. It's got like in tap mode, you can fire your grappling hook, which can then that can pull walls down or pull lifts up, or if a generator's bust, you fire at the generator and it fires up the generator because you're using your engine to get going. Then you can jump out of the Batmobile and get to do something. And you can, what's quite cool is you can remote,
because that's how generators work,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah, and you can you can remote control your Batmobile without being in it, if you know what I mean. So like, if you need Batman to be standing on somewhere or being in somewhere, like say there's a door that has to be opened, but the Batmobile has to be hold the door open while you go in, you can do that, if that makes sense. And then like yeah. they incorporate that in the puzzle, but once you first suss that out, the rest of the puzzles all kind of make sense. And I think NM took me more than 1 or 2 minutes to kind of
suss out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still an absolute cracking game. And between that and The Witcher 3, those are the two best games of the year so far for me.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, so I'm still playing The Witcher 3. Unlike me normally, I'm very much, I hit the story because my attention doesn't last very long. And so I try and do as much as I can of the story to try and get my money's worth, which, I don't know, seems kind of weird. But The Witcher, I've just spent a lot of time just drifting about. I think I've kind of lost track of the story, yeah. to be honest. I've sort of left it and I'm just dancing because I've got to kind of the white, oops, sorry, I hit my microphone there. I've got to the quite wide, it's got like lots and lots of islands and lots of places I can kind of move between. The full map, so I'm just meandering now. Between I'm getting on boats and floating across the different islands and stuff.
That's the best way to play it, just take your time with it and just explore rather than going main quest.
Well,
just do main quest every now and then.
I probably would have picked up Batman, but if it wasn't for the fact that I'm still quite enjoying The Witcher, and I'll pick up this Batman game eventually when the Witcher kind of bores me a little bit.
Yeah,
but
and it'll probably be cheaper at that point as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. At the moment, I'm still kind of drifting through The Witcher. I'd highly recommend that. So, Chiz, I mean, are you saying we're not at a point where we can recommend the PC game yet, as we've already discussed? But you would highly recommend the PlayStation or Xbox One version of this?
Yeah. I'd say I've had an absolute, but I've actually played through the game twice.
It should be mentioned, Chiz works in a school normally, and so he's in the summer holidays just now, so he has the time to play through this twice. Most of us have to go to a job every day.
He is somewhat
new game plus mode
a Batman freak.
He is as well.
I do enjoy it. I do like Batman.
So, I mean,
if you're a Batman fan, you like the past games, definitely pick it up. And what's the other thing? For me, it's still the best. It's combat, like third person. It's combat in gaming because you get the odd person that says, oh, you can just button mash all the way through it. And he's like, no, you can't. If you put this in the hardest mode and try and button mash it, I can assure you will not get very far. It's like, it's basically pressing the right button or doing the right thing at the right time against the right sort of its enemy. Yeah, early on, at the lowest setting, you could probably get quite far by just mashing the same button. But do that. But at the same time, why would you want to do that? It's like, why wouldn't you want to be
challenged a little
bit. Batman and use everything at your disposal and do like a cool fight scene rather than just go and punch. So why would you play the game that way? You're an idiot. Anyone who accuses of just being a button mashing thing there don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Cool. So Sam, have you been playing anything this week that you wanted to talk about?
The game that I put in the notes there, Paul, but it's not exactly a new game.
All right, okay, sorry, Sam. Well, last time I checked, nobody had updated the notes. Hold on, I'll just pull it up. You can tell me where it is, actually.
Fallout New Vegas.
All right, okay.
I've been playing through again.
Actually, sorry, just before you go into that, did you see the link that I put into the Gamer Show was around an update to Baldur's Gate? I thought you'd be quite interested.
Yeah, no, not really.
Okay. Yeah, that's been happening for a while now.
Unfortunately. No, they did a remash.
Was it an iPad or something, was it?
Yeah, they did an iOS version. And then they did Baldur's Gate Expanded or something. And then this is...
So everyone's just a bit fatter.
Yeah. I didn't actually like... No, it was two they redid, didn't they? And this is one they've now done.
Oh, right. Is this a redo of one? Is it really?
Know.
Okay. Sorry, I
so did you mean two first?
I think so.
Yeah.
They didn't redo it. They just...
Gave it better graphics.
Same game, just a redo.
Updated the textures.
Yeah.
So I never played New Vegas. What is better than the Fallout 3?
It's not better. Chiz had a rather unfortunate history with Fallout New Vegas. So we both got it exactly the same time, and it ran with no hitch whatsoever on my computer.
It was a buggy piece of
But honestly, I played, but
it was known to be like
it was certain graphics cards, wasn't
it? Yeah. Like, well, it was a known problem with it, which it was like it was Fallout 3 wasn't without its bugs. Although I played Fallout 3 and it was totally fine.
Yeah.
And but there was people out there who had issues with it. While you would have thought by the time this game came along, all those bugs would have been squashed. But in fact, the developers found new bugs to put in it.
Well, wasn't
and,
it?
It was Obsidian, was it not?
Yeah.
And they found some new bugs. They felt like they felt three was missing. And I did eventually complete it, but I had to abandon it for a while.
You did complete it eventually.
Yeah, but and I enjoyed it. But it was just the first few weeks, it was just kind of like, this game hates my guts. And I wasn't the only person. This happened to a lot of people. I say it's both games have been known to be quite buggy. With the launch day anyway, and actually I think it was New Vegas was known to be even more buggy than 3.
Yeah, I think so.
But you ran fine, which is good for you, and you're an asshole. But
at the time, it was just, I remember there was just a week of constant phone calls between me and Jiz, of Jiz going, where are you now? You asshole!
But I actually think I enjoyed, once it got going, I enjoyed the story of it was New Vegas more than...
Yeah, it's... Fallout 3 is the kind of dark, moody one. The original... The first Fallout was quite kind of full-on, but the second Fallout was quite kind of wacky in certain ways. Like they'd add in
dark
really
sense of humor and whatnot.
Really random
and New Vegas
stuff.
Recaptured that sense of humor better.
Yeah, it really did. New Vegas has got a lot of quite odd funny bits in it. And it's also got more of the kind of element of that kind of steampunky, weirdy kind of technology, the 1950s.
Right, okay. And the main baddie is Chandler Bing.
Yeah. it's good. It's really enjoyable.
Okay. Which he did the role because he was a big fan of that game series as well.
All right, okay. What made you go back to New Vegas, Sam, given that you have access to, I forgot the name of it, 1882? 1882?
Order.
Order 1882.
I haven't even plugged in the PS4.
All right, okay. And so what made you go back to Fallout New Vegas?
Because I love it and because Fallout 4 is coming up.
You just wanted to get a bit of nostalgia.
I actually booked off the first day of release and the second day of release.
As Speed as well? 4.
No, he's not doing it for this. We're both going to book off probably...
Mad Max.
Probably a long week now for...
Warhammer.
And just before we finish up, then, do you want to just give a quick review of F1?
Because otherwise
2015?
It'll be bees in the post again.
Everyone took it, really enjoying it so far. Obviously, the steering wheel is helping with that as well.
Yeah.
It arrived for me early on last Wednesday. There was a day one patch coming that came on Thursday, which did improve the game because I didn't get to play a total lot, but I suspect I probably would have found quite a lot of bugs with it for what I was reading online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good road. Really, the handling model feels fantastic. Driving with its assists off and catching the car in a slide, or like it's really sick because of the way F1 cars are. The past couple of years, there's loads of torque, so you have to be easy on the throttle. You just spin the car straight away when you're coming out of a corner. So you have to be really light on the throttle at first and get on the power as early as you can, but not too early or you'll spin. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that. Done a few races in the wet. It's all good. The AI don't seem to cheat in the rain like they did in past rain. Like, it didn't seem to be quite close with them. Does have a few bugs, as every game seems to do at launch. There's seems to be every race, there always seems to be one or two cars that get trapped. AI cars get trapped in the pit lane. It seems to be when two of the same cars are pitting, one car queues up behind it, which is okay, that happens in real F1 sometimes, and the one pulls away. But what happens, there's a glitch where that the car doesn't pull away and it just sits there, and they sit there for the entire race, but they don't get, one will maybe get taken out of the race, but the one car that's trying to get into their pit lane just sits there for the whole race, just gets lapped by everyone. So they need to fix that.
Sorry, excuse my ignorance here, but what? How does that impact the game? Is it just unrealistic?
Well,
is that?
Yeah. It's just AI. I've read it happened to the player sometimes. It's not happened to me, but I've seen it happen to the AI quite often, and I've read online it's happened to some people.
Oh, I get if it happened to you,
you'd have to reset the game.
So
they need to fix it. Like, it's just mainly AI elements that need to be fixed because. I've had a few moments where the AI, when you're coming around to lap them, they either don't make too much effort to get out your way when they're supposed to because you're coming to lap them, or they'll make a massive attempt. And basically, I was coming around and it was Melbourne, up behind it was Perez, and he very cleverly moved out of the way, but done so by driving straight into the wall next to him.
Right, okay, nice.
Thank you very much. very, very, very polite, these Mexicans. It's just a few AI bugs. Like, there's nothing totally game-breaking for me so far, but it does have a few bugs which can be patched up, but the main element of the actual handle and everything is fantastic. So I'm liking it so far. A few annoyances, which it's still feel like they're sort of bugs that maybe should have been picked up and fixed before launch.
As with
but it's not, it's no PC Batman Arkham Knight, thankfully. But enjoying it, and hopefully, like, if bugs and stuff bother you, it'd be interested in this game, then maybe hold off for a few weeks or a month until it's patched up a bit better.
So you're playing that on Xbox One?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And get a few races with Russell. And one of the thing the features missing is the co-op career. They've taken that. They've taken features out because they've built a new, their excuse is they've built a whole new game engine which all their times went into, so it's lost features. So it's like hitting the reset button for the new generation of consoles.
Right, okay.
So it's missing features, so they have to reincorporate these features back in as they go. Which I understand at the same time, it's just kind of like, but you had all these features in last year's game, I want them in this, because one of the main selling points for me and your brother was doing our co-op career, which you can't do anymore. You can do a multiplayer session, you can set up your own championship in multiplayer, but it has to consist of other human players. Like, what we used to do was me and Russ on the same team against AI, it was AI the whole that season, and it all would require just me and Russ being online at the same time. Now, I would need set as many folk as I knew with the game or randoms, and then for them to turn up every week to play this game the good thing with me and Russell is we're much the same sort of skill level, so it's always quite good racing. They get, say, up to like a few friends or max 16 friends all the same sort of skill levels.
You're gonna have to include me and Sam. Only really good for knocking out other players in corners and stuff.
They have improved it, but they proved it where you can do that, because you couldn't do that in the past. So have like set up a championship of your mates and load your mates. It's good they've got that now, but I want
to like the option of other
a co-op crew of just one to two people and you're both in the same team playing through a championship, so you're against each other and the AI and whatever. That was really good fun, and we did that every year.
And I take it they've dropped the whole historical cars as well, because they had that two or 3 years ago.
They had that 1 year, I think it was 2012 or 2013, and they've not brought that back since. I didn't really venture back into that, but it was always a nice thing to have, and I think that was probably probably their game that got the highest reviews was when they did that one. So a lot of people liked it, so but I understand why, because they do have to focus all the energy onto the current F1 setup, and I understand. Like, there's no excuse why it wasn't in last year's game, but I'd understand why it's not in this year's game, because they're building a new game engine. But I do feel it's still a few key features that should have been, like, the co-op should have been in it, I think. And well, even they've changed the single player. What I used to like to do, like, was the element of basically putting yourself in the game and working your way up from being a crap team trying to prove yourself and earning areas of contract at a higher team. So it was you in the game.
Yeah.
And that's the way I like to do it. Now you have to choose an existing driver and kind of pretend so that
it's,
you...
It's funny they've taken that out, like, because...
I don't want to be like Jensen Button or asshole Hamilton.
They're still doing that kind of things in, like, well, so in FIFA, you can still put yourself in and you work your way up and eventually get to play for Scotland, England, whoever you
want. Loads of people like doing.
And same with Madden as well. Yeah. You could play as a quarterback. It's not quite the same because you have to still choose... I'm never actually trying to see if I can put myself in, but you choose a player, which is kind of the same as F1, but then you play as them and work your way up. But anyway, so you would recommend it?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. As I said, there's a few features missing which are annoying. There's a few bugs, but overall, this is probably the best handling F1 game so far that there's been, I think.
Cool.
Really enjoying the handling.
Grand. Okay. Well, Sam, do you have anything more to add to that?
No. Of your vast knowledge of racing games and Formula 1?
No.
And being the... huge Pablo Montoya fan that you are.
That's it.
Is that Mexican hooker you had?
And on that, we will say goodnight to you. And so, quick programming note, we will not have a show in 2 weeks' time.
We will not have a show in 2 weeks' time.
That was really loud.
Reason being, I'm moving house and basically the studio is going to have to get disconnected. So we will be back in 4 weeks in our normal schedule, and we will be in a new studio where Sam and Chiz will be comfier, I'm hoping, with new chairs.
I think the way to do it is just to burn this place down and buy new stuff.
It's probably quicker. So we will be back in 4 weeks. There will not be a show in 2 weeks. So thank you very much for listening. If you want to get a hold of us, it's britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or tweet me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, or Sam is at Dr. Nasty Flaps. And the network is
Stop giving it out. It's been months since I've looked.
At British Tech on Twitter.
Find me in my shop, Soiled Chaps.
Please come over to our Facebook page. Just search for The Gamer Show on Facebook. There's quite a good community over there. People chatting and discussing things. Sam put up a photograph of a Spectrum they got delivered off at work
the other day,
which is...
What was the game again? It was Decathlon. Daily Thompson's Decathlon.
Yeah. It's freaking amazing.
So Sam's been playing with some retro consoles and we're having a discussion about that in our Facebook group. Head on over to our Google Plus group, but we never check it. So,
we've not done our gaming thing in a while. We should get that gaming.
That's a good idea. I wonder if we could link that up. That'd be quite cool.
Probably not.
Or if you just want the full network, British Tech on Facebook, British Tech Network. So thank you very much. And we will see you in 4 weeks. Good night.
Toodles.